He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.
This morning, listeners, we are in the middle of a snowstorm as this show is being taped. The snow conditions, we haven't had much snow this year in around our listening area and in the whole state. But the weather changed for me because I was coming up from Fairfield County in Connecticut. I drove in 36-degree temperature and heavy to moderate to light rain right up until the Metro North station that is located off Route 22, just south of Amenia, New York. And I got behind a New York State fully loaded salt truck moving north on Route 22. There was no reason to be dropping salt at that point, and it was going along at 40 miles an hour and had a number of cars behind, and it turned, it went off to the right as if it was going to turn into the train station to let the traffic that had piled up behind it go by. And at that point, the roads were basically just wet with rain. Within 1/2 mile, I was slithering on sleet, covered roads that had not been salted yet because the truck had not reached that point with which it would have started dropping salt. And the driving went from perfectly fine, although be it wet roads, to very dangerous, slushy conditions. And I
so, Robin, it. So the truck did have a point in putting the salt down, is what you're admitting.
Not before it hadn't started putting it down because they were not, they had not run into what I ran into 1/2 mile north of the Metro North station.
Well, the whole idea is to prevent this from happening.
I understand that, but the temperature was at that point on the road was 34 and hadn't gotten down to 32. 1/2 mile later, it was at 31, and it was snowing. So it's like I ran into a wall of a temperature change. It wasn't like it had been dropping for the last 10 miles as I was going north on 22. So back to the point of the story. The point of the story, of course, is about safe driving in very bad road traction conditions, which were met very suddenly on this particular trip north to do the show. And everybody was appropriately going slower, but the roads got continually worse. Coming into Connecticut, Connecticut had not had any salt trucks out yet, turning eastward off of 22. And our co-host, who's down on, Jill Goodman, who's usually on the show, just reported in on a story in Connecticut where she ran into a tradesperson in a white van who had fallen off or slid off the road that he was on, and I do not know which road it was, town road or state. And somehow or other, she got around to finding out what the condition of his tires were, and the condition of the tires were not good, meaning very low tread, if not bald. And this, we have talked about tread on tires being a very important factor in less than optimum road conditions. As Jay knows, sometimes race cars run on almost treadless tires in some instances, but you can't do that on regular driving tires on roads when you have rain and or the conditions of this morning's show taping, roads covered in snow. I tested it with the anti-lock brakes on my Sonata. I was in my two-wheel drive, front-wheel drive Sonata on this trip north, not in a Jeep, which I would normally be in had I known that road conditions were going to be as they became. And that's a good way to find out what the surface conditions of a road are if you know what to do by applying your brakes hard enough but not to get yourself into a skid, which, of course, anti-lock brakes are supposed to prevent happening anyways, and they do a reasonably good job on it. But over the years, anti-lock brakes sometimes become anti-stop brakes, and they're not all that they're trumped up to be, although they are much safer to have than brakes that don't have the anti-lock feature.
Hey, Robin, let me interrupt you for a second. You know this is 2023, and we have now had anti-lock brakes for 40 years.
Exactly.
And,
I have been harping about
the very fact that we remember not having anti-lock brakes tells us something about our age, but that's a whole different story.
Well,
but
I have cars with no anti-lock brakes, as you know. My Mazda RX-7, for example, has no anti-lock brakes. That may be the only one I have that has no anti-lock brakes. Everything else does have anti-lock brakes, I think, in my fleet. But people were driving reasonably slowly, but I was driving extra careful, being in a two-wheel drive vehicle. The tires are very well treaded. They will grip if they were able to reach the pavement, but if they don't reach the pavement, they're not going to grip, even if they've got good treads. And I actually put my flashers on for the trip between Armenia, New York, and Sharon, which is our broadcast station area. And so that's the weather conditions that were going on in the northwest corner on the day this show was done in 2023. I am looking out my taping window here, and the snow has lessened considerably over what it was about 40 minutes before we started this show. And it is still snow, however, not rain. It may transfer to rain, but this is the kind of strange weather conditions that make me want to say to people, please check your tires and the condition of the tread depth. And if you really don't have good tires, you really shouldn't be out driving in this type of situation. Jay, you can chime in.
That's for sure. But also, these are the most treacherous conditions when the temperature, as you mentioned starting the show, when the temperatures hover right around the freezing point, because
correct,
it's a fine line between having snow, rain, and ice. And
yes,
the combination of those three things is just not good on the roads. And it is especially not good when you can't determine whether you are on black ice or on wet pavement. Once you're in the snow, you usually have a good idea of what to expect. And, you know, we've all learned to drive in snowy conditions. But again, it's the changing conditions that make it difficult and treacherous, in my opinion.
I agree. Let's move on.
Yes.
I'd like to move on to car inventories, dealers. We've been talking ad infinitum about shortages of cars, new cars and used cars and all that for some months now. The problems are diminishing considerably based on my amateur observation of some dealerships that I pass by regularly. There's definitely an increase in inventory of non-pre-sold cars or orders. So the dealers are starting to load up with inventories, which means that no longer can they get away probably with charging ADMs, which are known as additional dealer markups, as many were doing as recently as 6 months ago. I have reported on this show that Audi had $3,000 to $4,000 ADM pricing on, but that's above the sticker pricing of several of their Audi models. I do not know what they were doing with the electric versions, the e-trons, but this was when their inventories were practically zeroed down, and anything that came in had this additional dealer markup. And it also happened in some American brands as well, and some of the Asian brands as well. They had some additional dealer markups. That is changing, and we may be going back to where you start seeing dealers hawking cars, saying $1,000, $2,000, $3,000 off stickers, 0% financing if it's done through the dealer. You will not get 0% financing done at any location for financing vehicles outside manufacturers, dealers, in the cases where they do exist. I know that used car financing costs, as I am now observing them, are at 7.24% after a certain amount down, usually $2,000 to $4,000 down, and this is for 60-month loans. 7.24% financing a used car, pre-owned, at some dealerships for a 60-month loan. And that's the way they get the monthly payments down to what might be considered an affordable payment for many of the people who are going to try to buy vehicles going forward. And these are vehicles that are priced between $20,000 and up.
I think the used car market is cooling down for sure. The prices have gone up, and they're not going to go down, at least not dramatically. The average price for a used car has been going up steadily and is still pretty high. I don't know what the number is exactly, but I think it's around $20,000-$22,000, which is, you know, seemingly very high for a used car.
Yeah.
Having said that, we all know that the cars have a much longer life than they used to.
Correct.
And so a 60-month loan on a freshly used car, I mean, I'm not worried about the length of the loan, but yeah, the 7.2% is much higher than we've seen in that past few years. But that's just interest rates going up, as we know.
Well, of course, and let's go back to pricing right now. Tesla has made a lot of news in the week preceding this particular show's broadcast, with a major price reduction along many lines. It started in China, and it swept into Europe, and now it has reached the U.S., I believe.
Yes, it has.
Model Y has a discount of $13,000 off the sticker price, in addition to the eligibility for the new tax incentive of up to $7,500. And the comment in this article I'm reading right now is, shoppers are responding. You're damn right. Shoppers are responding, and they're going to. Jay, you noted that some shoppers for electric vehicles were switching from another make to Tesla.
Well,
if I could get $13,000 off a sticker price on a Model Y.
There are a lot of options right now.
Yes.
The reality is that, you know, Tesla has set the mark, and even though a lot of people who drink the Tesla Kool-Aid have been kind of turned off by Elon Musk's
politics.
You know, actions of late. But the reality is that now, with the prices going down,
cars are definitely more of interest to.
Yeah, and the Tesla Y still is the medium size SUV, like the perfect vehicle. That it's where the bulk of the market is. And as far as an electric vehicle is concerned, it still is the benchmark. And at $52,000, not factoring in the tax credit, which runs out, and there are conditions to the tax credit, and at this point it runs out in March.
Well,
so people are running
more
buying.
That, I know, Jay. More to that, the $55,000 is the price cap for a new EV tax credit. So if you're above that, you don't get the tax credit, and this is what the price drop of the Y has done, because it brought it down to below $55,000. The article I'm reading says to $54,630, including $1,390 for shipping and a $250 order fee. So that probably gets it down to $52,000 you just brought up.
But the tax credit is convoluted, because if you get a seven seater, if you have a third row seat, now your limit. Your max price for the vehicle is set at $80,000. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
So
tax credit thing is really confusing, and people really have to understand what it is when they go out shopping for electric vehicles, and the price ranges that the price caps are operating under, and the features of the vehicles. be it said, Tesla is panicked a little bit, probably, because of the increasing competition of electric vehicles. And there are lots of options, and they're increasing practically every month. You've got Kias, you've got Hyundais, you've got Audis, you've got BMWs, you've got Mercedes, and the pricing is becoming quite competitive, albeit at the same time, the cost for the batteries is escalating quite a bit. And we're going to see where this all shakes down over the coming few years.
Well, it'll be interesting, because there's a couple newcomers to the market, and I think the one to watch for, and it's still a couple years away, is the new Afila, I think it's called or pronounced. Okay. And Afila is a joint venture between Honda and Sony. And their first car is a kind of modern-looking Honda Accord, but you know,
when's it becoming available?
Very clean lines that will be coming out in 2026, and I think they'll start taking orders at the end of next year. Interesting, and I don't know. I have no idea how it's going to be sold. If it's going to be through Honda dealerships, if it's going to be direct sales, you know, based on the Tesla model. I have a feeling that that's going to be the way they'll be going. But there's not much we know about the car, except that it's full of tech, of course.
Well, and by that time, many other electric cars are going to be on the road because 2026 is
only 3 years away.
3 years away, and I don't think I would wait for an Afila if I were in the market to buy an electric car. But as you say, new ones are coming out. New ones are being developed. There seem to be new names, and I certainly am not up to speed like you were on this particular car that's coming out in a while. But the fact of the matter is, electric cars are really becoming. It's going to be interesting to see when a shortage of charging stations starts showing up as being the problem, as opposed to a shortage of cars showing up, which has been the problem for months now at many levels. I think we're going to see an interesting situation with charging stations, Jay. I don't know whether the level, what do they start at, level one or level two for charging speeds. It would seem to me that the lowest level should be eliminated because of the time frame it takes to add miles on your car's range. Versus a level three or level four charging.
I think the Europeans the European brands have been focused on that is not necessarily the max range, but making the charging time as rapid as quick
right.
as possible, and
right.
and bringing that you know that 10 to 80% charge time down to under 20 minutes in some
minutes,
cases.
Right.
Would
you say that Europeans don't necessarily drive the same distances on a daily basis that some of us Americans do? Like every time I come up from Fairfield County, it's 60-plus miles from my door to the door I came from, and vice versa. But I'm always running into all these the rush hour traffic coming down to 684 as I come north. And boy, that can be a slow clogged area for anywhere from 20 to probably 45 minutes of an hour at certain times of the morning, and vice versa coming out of the city, coming back home. And some of the people probably travel more than I do, door to door from their job to their homes. And are people driving the same kinds of distances for commuting?
No, for sure not. In a lot of cases, absolutely, you know, everything is closer. But
right.
I think even here, you know, people don't. You seldom drive a lot more than 100, 150 miles a day, even if you're commuting, even if you're going, you know, some kind of
right.
long distance. And again, it goes back to my point of, if you have several cars, you know, one can be an electric car, and then maybe someday we'll have electric cars for all of our cars. And
well, California wants them all to be sold, right? In 2035 or 40?
Yeah, and Europe too. I mean, it is where we're going. There's no doubt about it. I'm not sure yet we'll get there as fast as the
project.
Goals are set. But we're definitely going there. And you know, with some sadness because you know, sports cars with nice sounds are going to be on their way out. And we're already seeing certain brands, certain models, the last of the ICE engine power units only without any hybrid, you know, models going up in value because now all of even the sports car brands like Ferrari are adding electric motors to their top-of-the-line cars. And someday there will be only electric motors.
beyond my lifetime, probably. But I think a lot of collectors are going to be driving fossil fuel cars for years to come. The sales of collectible cars on these auction systems are amazing to watch on TV. And the prices that are being paid for them just befuddle me. But that's the way it is, and good for it. But then most of these cars don't get out on the road a whole lot once they're collected at the prices that are being paid for them, which I think is a sad situation because, of course, I drive all my cars. And to that point, I'm going to go to, I think I read, it was a car driver came out with the test best driver's cars in a recent issue. Jay, if you've seen it, you can confirm it. I read through that list. Only the Honda cars that were in that list were in what I would consider to have been an affordable range. All the others were like $70,000 to $150,000. And I laughingly say, you know what, I was going to write a letter, and I haven't done it yet, to a car driver saying, it's great seeing what they think the 10 best driver cars are, and I was going to give them my list of 8 driver's cars, all being mine, and say that they
So what are your 8 to 10... What are your best driver's cars?
Every one I have. The Mazda RX-7 for that particular vehicle. Sort of like you like the Mazda the Miata. My Jaguar XJR. My Audi A8. Listeners may have heard this before, but probably they haven't, and they'll be amazed. And this is a 2001 A8. It's a 2004 Jaguar XJR. It's a 1984 Mazda RX-7. My VW Eurovan is 2000. I love driving that car. It's a great driving van. My Honda Sonata Hybrid, 2013. I love driving that car. It's a great driving car. My Jeep Cherokees are great driving SUVs. There we go. So thanks to Car and Driver's opinion, but that's my opinion.
Well, we've covered all the safety issues for the day, I think, being careful in the snow. I look forward to driving again, being on the roads in the next week or two. Be driving to Florida this week, and then be off to Europe and driving probably on the Autobahn in a couple of weeks. Different driving experiences.
What is the charging situation in Europe, Jay? Are you observing that as you go, or will you the next time you go to Belgium and see whether there are lots of them around, and whether you see any stations? I'm waiting to see the first charging station in the U.S. with a waiting line for electric vehicles. I don't think I'll see it very quickly.
I've seen some, but
in the U.S.
Yeah.
Obviously, where there are places where there's just one station to plug in. There could well be. For example, in Pound Ridge, New York, they've got one located down a long line of parking areas for the stores, and I have seen two cars there, but there's only one plug. Hotchkiss School has a charging station right along Route 41, and very often I see two cars for the two plugs that they have there. Whether there's a third one in line or not, I don't know. But obviously, yes, when there's only one or two stations, we could see that happening. But I'm talking about the Tesla charging stations where you usually see 6 to 8 available hookups. For example, in Stop and Shop in our Canaan area, Broadcaster in Canaan, Connecticut, I've only seen one Tesla there at any time that I've been there, never more than one at the same time. So that's not going to be clogged up very soon.
He is Robin Leach. This is Car Keys.